more than anything, we tend to think that repent is really to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, is to seek forgiveness, to apologize. And the reality is like for this word, the Greek and the Hebrew we just said, it's really more of the idea of turning than anything.
Welcome back to the Rheology Podcast. Rheology is a nonprofit ministry that is centered around rethinking, researching, and rediscovery, a process that dives deep into the depths of an intimate partnership with God through a concept Jesus initiated called ecclesia. We strive to cultivate an environment that is not only safe to question and seek, but also one that is founded on the truths of partnership, words of hope that were uttered from the lips of Jesus himself. So in this podcast, we'll question Christian tradition, we'll investigate God myths, and we'll listen to those who are stirring, questioning, and desperately seeking more of what God is doing in and around us each day.
Hey everybody, it's Scott Johnson with Rheology and the Rheology Podcast, and that guy right over there, that is Brandon. Hello, Brandon.
What's going on?
And we're here to talk about all kinds of stuff that have to do with God, Jesus, Christianity, and ultimately it narrows down to like what all that has to do with us. And so we like to talk about theology and honestly, probably more along the lines of like rethinking theology, going back and like really kind of just, you know, digging through the Bible and trying to really understand what, you know, God's really trying to get across to us, what Jesus was really, what his ministry is all about. His disciples, those guys who wrote the Bible, what they were trying to get across to us now in the 21st century. And it's probably, you know, different than probably what you grew up thinking and what you even think now. So today we're going to continue on with that. And if you like this podcast, we'd encourage you to subscribe and or just give us a thumbs up saying, yeah, it was cool. You can go to our website, which is rheologylife.com, and you can go and fill out a little contact form and drop us a line, say hey, and that'd be cool too. And if you're online listening to this via audio podcast, you can do the same thing. Anyway, here we go. Brandon, today we're talking about repentance. I was kind of curious, what was going through your mind? What was the thoughts that made you go, yeah, this is something I want to talk about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you exactly what was going through my mind. It's, I don't know what exactly spurred it, but I got to thinking as I'm moving along my faith journey here and Bible reading more religiously than I have been, I got to thinking, I mean, surely Jesus knew that even despite him instructing us to repent and in some places to sin no more, that we would continue to sin and screw things up. And so I've always just wondered about that phrase. What did exactly did he mean when he instructed us to repent if he knew full well that we were still going to miss the mark time after time? So that's it. What's the meaning of the term repent, and why was it a big focus of his and others, his other contemporaries? I mean, John the Baptist is preaching, you know, you know, get baptized and repent. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good question. I think this has been like something that has really tied up a lot of Christians that I have talked with in my career and guys that I know that have talked to people as well, because it is one of those things where it's like the, you know, the what came first, the chicken or the egg kind of a deal, where you're just chasing the ball around, right? It's like, well, I said I'm sorry, and because I messed up, and then I messed up again, I'm set to say I'm sorry, and I messed up again, and it's like just going round and round and round.
It's also kind of like when you go on a diet and you sneak the donut, and then you're like, well, just screw it, I messed up, so why I'll keep going?
Tomorrow. Yeah. I'll get back on my diet tomorrow. Yeah. I think, you know, again, we really have to go and really like start to uncover exactly what these words mean, because as we, you and I have said 100 million times here, is that we need better language when it comes to the Bible. And we'll say that until we're blue in the face, but it's because it's true. And again, right off the bat, just another disclaimer is that the Bibles that we primarily, most of the Bibles we have right now, translations, you know, NIV, New American Standard, King James, yada, 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 right? Most of those, if not all of those, and most of the translations that we have that are pretty popular, you know, they primarily have been translations that have been done off of William Tyndale's original translation, which was 500 years ago. And so not only is the are they translations from a translation from a translation and primarily his, but we also are using, I mean, we're really technically, we're still using the same like English words that he used. And the problem is like those English words, you know, are 500 years old, and they can go through a gambit, you know, a whole spectrum of meaning from decade to century to century to century.
And they become Bibleese, and you just read over them. You've heard them so many times.
Yeah, they become religious terms, and we're not really quite sure where they come from or how they got there, and we just say them and go, okay, I guess. And just hope and pray you're on kind of the right track. And like, I just watched a video, I'll have to send it to you, but it's a video on how far back can we go with the English language before we don't know what it says.
We can't
understand it. And it's not very far.
Really?
It's literally about 600 years before it starts becoming, you're reading it and you're like, I don't know what this.
Yeah. Cause I mean, even like some Shakespeare stuff can't really understand. I mean, you can understand a lot of it, but.
Yeah, and I think that's why, as we've said before, like William Tyndale, when he did what he did, it was revolutionary. And it really, really, I mean, it basically gave English-speaking people, you know, in England, it gave them a whole, almost like a whole entirely new, you know, vocabulary. And it's almost like us, like, getting geeked out over the Message Bible, which I know the Message Bible is kind of old, but. And we get kind of geeked out about that. Oh man, check it out. How it says this way. It's literally like that, but times 10. Hmm. And his like new vocabulary that he creates, it becomes like default canon vocabulary for the English language. So it's not just like words that are around for a little bit and you're like, yeah, okay, we're done with those. No, it changed culture. He changed culture. So it'd probably be really smart for us to kind of go back and look at this word repentance, number one. And we've already talked about sin. So now that we know, we have a better understanding what sin means, because sin means, we know that it means failure. And not that, you know, so there's like capital S sin and lowercase s sin, you know, to steal from, you know, our good man, Tommy Wright. You know, the idea that like there's a capital S and a lowercase s. And the lowercase s sin or failure would be like making mistakes, mm-hmm. right? Making mistakes. And there is no ever guarantee anywhere in the Bible that you will never make, that you'll never make another mistake ever. So that's not really what, you know, Jesus is talking about when he does say repent and sin no more. He's talking about the capital S, which we know as like the failure in our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like separation. And we always kind of talk about like a marriage, or, you know, if my wife and I would have something come up in our marriage and, you know, it's pretty bad and we get separated and we live in different spots. That's basically what's going on. And so, so when Jesus is talking about sin like that, it is a capital S. It's not like, hey, don't, you know, don't mess up anymore. That's kind of crazy. Because that's not really what he's kind of going for. He's going for the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is the relationship. We were separated, and you know it's time to come back together. That's the failure he's talking about. But so maybe we should just kind of talk about repent, the word repent and repentance, and kind of look at it from a Greek and Hebrew mindset, because that's who used it, used the original language. The Greek, there's two different words for in the Greek for repent and repentance. One is metanoeo, and the other one is very similar, which is metanoie. And both of those, like for instance, like you just said, Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach this message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. And this is a great verse, because once we kind of take these words and help them, like, give meaning, then you'll be like, ah.
Yeah, I want to think through that, because I've always wondered why those, because it's almost in that phrase, repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. It's almost like the repentance is driven by the nearness of heaven. In other words, if the nearness of heaven wasn't realized there, then repentance is less crucial. So I'm curious why that is in his imagination.
Yeah, it's almost like, hey, you need to wake up, because, you know, it's something is imminent,
yeah.
Kind of a feeling. So this is, that's the Greek for that. The Hebrew is the word shuv, which is kind of a cool little word. And like in 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is another one I pinpointed, because I feel like it helps understand. The Hebrew for shuv here is, if my people who belong to me humble themselves, pray, seek to please me, and repudiate their sinful practices, then I respond from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And the mindset here is an idea of turning, right? Turning from one way of living life, repudiate their sinful practices, right? That's kind of like a fancy way of saying, you know, turn from their sin, right? Turn from the wrong. And then I will respond from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and heal their land. Heal their land, which we said that's what salvation means. So there's really kind of like, more than anything, we tend to think that repent is really to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, is to seek forgiveness, to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is like, for this word, the Greek and the Hebrew, what we just said, it's really more of the idea of turning than anything. And like, I've heard several people talk about like the idea of like you walking in a direction, and let's say you're trying to come down here. You're gonna walk from, you know, the Indianapolis area down to the Charlotte area, which is a long walk, and I'd suggest you don't do it. But anyway, if you did, it'd be like you're getting like halfway here and you're turning around and going back home. Hmm. You are heading in a direction and you are turning and heading in the opposite direction or in a different direction. And so that's really more the idea of the word here. And so turn, you know, I always like to say like from what, you know, and we've said this before, when people say, you know, I've been saved, you know, I used to always say, from what? Because I don't think they really know. They just,
That's
a phrase they just say. I've been saved. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. From what?
Mm-hmm.
Sin? Hell?
Mm-hmm.
So the question would be, if this is a turning, that Jesus came to preach turning, turn from what?
Yeah.
And then turn to what? And the reality is like, it's more than just doing things differently, than, you know, more than just like a change of heart. It's actually changing the direction of your life, like where your life is headed, you know. And I think the big thing is to keep in mind is the mind. And because our mind pretty much controls, you know, we come up with a strategy. You know, you and I both have been involved in business. You're still currently involved in business. You know, businesses come up with a business plan, a plan. They use their brain to determine what direction they're going to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of do the same thing with our lives, just our lives, what kind of human being we're going to be, and, you know, kind of family we're going to have, and those kind of things. So we have a mindset of the direction we're going to take. And the reality is, like, since this word repent means to turn, the question, you know, the idea really is more to not just, you know, having a change of heart or doing different things. It's more of a change of mind. And I just wrote this down too, because this is like one of the big things that Paul, you know, one of the most quoted things that Paul has written down. This is Romans 12. And he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he's basically saying, think differently. And Jesus is saying the same thing. So if we go back up to the Matthew 4:17, from that time, and Jesus began to proclaim this message, or preach this message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And who is he talking to? Jews.
Yeah.
And what have the Jews been doing? They've been separated from God. How do they feel like they can get closer to God? By doing all the stuff and practices and
the laws and stuff.
Yeah. So Jesus is basically preaching a message of like, it's time for you to change your mind. Because why? Because the kingdom of heaven that you've been trying to get to this whole time the wrong way is actually right in front of you. It's
here. So like, change your mindset. The way you've been looking at this is wrong. You need to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes more sense.
The way you've been looking at it is wrong. So when you combine like the concept of repent and the concept of sin, and what we know we just said repent was, and what we just earlier said we know what sin, capital S, is failure, then, you know, Jesus is just basically, he's encompassing all this kind of stuff. You know, it's the whole blueprint is together.
And it's also makes it more consistent when you look at Jesus's interactions with the Pharisees and stuff, because he's even, I'm sure he tells them to repent too, but his more direct assertions of are all about them getting things wrong in their mind. It's all, hey, you've been looking at it this way. You've got it completely wrong. So that fits nicely with repentance being a change of the mindset.
Totally. And I mean, I was just sharing this with my coworkers a couple of days ago, last Friday actually. And we were talking about, and you know, I've talked about this before, eyes to see and ears to hear. And Jesus says it over and over and over and over. And he actually is kind of quoting, you know, Proverbs 20 that talks about, you know, God giving us eyes so that we can see clearly. And it's not, you know, physical eyes to see clearly. It's eyes, it's our mind's eye to be able to see the full picture and to understand it and to follow it. And so Jesus does definitely say, you know, he who has eyes to see and ears to hear, you know, basically that's the person who's going to get it.
Yeah.
And that requires a change of your perspective, of your mindset. And so repent is way more, you know, about how we think than it is about being, making the wrong move, and I got to apologize for that.
Yeah, it's less of a directive to quit making the little mistakes you make here and there. Although that's still wrapped up into it, right? Because if you change your overall mindset, it's necessarily going to change the way that you behave. I think that's the whole idea. But it's not so much a directive of, hey, quit doing the little things that you're doing. That's less important than the bigger change of mind aspect of it.
No, totally. Because if that is the case, then we just keep obeying the 10 commandments and the 250 mini commandments then, because all that is a checklist, right? I'm just going to do this checklist. Oh, you broke that commandment. Quit doing that. Don't do that anymore. And that's not what we got here.
I guess it does beg the question though, of if you have repented, in other words, you've changed your mind from the self-destructive path you were on to begin with, why do we still make those mistakes that are evidence of our old self? You know what I mean?
No. I mean, I think, you know, Paul talks about it all the time, but his little phrasing is, you know, the desires of the flesh, you know, and that's really kind of a poetic way, you know, thanks to William Tyndale. You know, it's a poetic way basically to say that this is your DNA of who you are. And we are not complete. You know, Jesus will complete us through the full marriage of these two worlds. So, you know, it's not like, like for instance, I've heard people say like Christians don't, and maybe we'll talk about this further some other time, but Christians don't worry. And it's like, that's not what scripture is saying here. It's not saying, hey, Christians, don't worry, so knock it off. No. Yeah. It's basically when someone says, hey, don't worry, you know, God's going to guide you. They're not saying you shouldn't worry. They're saying, I know you're worried.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be worried. That's really what this is. And it is, I mean, every letter we have is from these disciples and apostles who are just trying to help believers, you know, get through the day and get on to the next day in this life that we're living. And it's just, you know, encouragement to keep going, to keep going. So there always is going to be, for now anyway, there's always going to be the human DNA element, no matter what.
Yeah.
But your mindset is what can be solid and solidified. Your emotions may get out of control and make you do something that's dumb and stupid. And sometimes, you know, other desires like that can do it. But your brain is what ultimately guides you. And you're right. If you do have a change of mindset, you know, those other things will follow. Not that, you know, you won't slip up. Of course you will, because you're not completed yet. This isn't completion. You know, that's why it's like, I'm saved, you know, by the blood of man. That means that you're finished almost, like it's done.
Right.
And then, as we've said before, you've said this before, like when people feel that and go, okay, cool. And then when they screw up, go like, I guess I wasn't saved. I don't know. I can't do this. I can't keep God happy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the checklist mentality.
Yeah.
And this isn't a checklist at all. This is a changing your mind.
Yeah, because that just leads you into that same cycle, like the diet we talked about, where you screw up, and you repent, and then you screw up, and you think, oh, man, I got to go repent again, and then it's just an endless cycle, and you think to yourself, is this really going anywhere, or am I just stuck here?
Yeah. I wrote this down because this is a quote from Einstein. It said, any fool can know. The point is to understand. And I think that's like the power of a mindset is that you're changing your mindset, meaning that now you're going to have to actually use your brain to dissect the situation and understand it fully and choose it.
Yeah.
Right. Not just kind of like do it because, well, I don't want to go burn in hell, so I guess I better do that. No, it's like, as we've said before, it's like dating. You're engaging your mind to get to know this other person.
Yeah.
And all the things start to make sense because you're rationally using your brain to understand. And understanding leads to faith. And faith, as we've said before, is truly knowing. So this is almost like the believing kind of stage, right? Really using your mind to dig through and understand, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, because then it reframes your situation. I found it's helpful, like Paul talks a lot about, you know, us, our current status now, as believers in Jesus after, you know, his resurrection, we are citizens of heaven. And so I found it's helpful to kind of, when I'm making mistakes and stuff like that, to take a step back and reframe it. It's like, this is not how citizens of heaven, this is not how heaven is supposed to be. We are supposed to be living as citizens of heaven. This is how Paul describes how that world is supposed to work. And then it does cause you to rethink how you've been treating different situations and then to try your best to fix that going forward.
Yeah. Cause I think, you know, as we've kind of hit on this before in the past, like we can really easily get involved in the justification thing.
Yeah.
Selves. Like we justify ourselves. Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to do this. You're going to do all the right things. And all that is justifying yourself. The problem with that is like, you're too late.
Right.
God already justified humanity. And the only path forward is together.
Yeah.
And what we just did is using our mind, is changing our mindset, is to be able to like wrap our brains around that to the point where we can start to understand and it makes sense. Now, granted, as I said in the beginning, you know, language has not really done us a deal here. It's kind of done this a disservice because we're still using very, very old language here. And it's very easy for people to get stuck in the religious terms, like you said, and just quote those things and not really think anything about it. And that's the problem, not thinking anything about it. Yeah. The opposite is should be happening. Engaging your brains to understand this situation.
The other place I see this word come up a lot, I want to get your take on it because it annoys me to no end, is especially as I start to watch a bunch of Christian speakers and look at the comment section on their videos and stuff like that, you will see critics of whatever doctrinal things that speaker is talking about. You will see critics in the comment section or wherever calling on that person to repent of whatever doctrine they were espousing. It's like the commenter has the right view, and so they have this hammer available to them, which is to call that other person to repentance. It's like that. It just annoys me because now you see it all over the place. People who disagree with that one interpretation. We saw this a lot with, if anybody's followed, like the scandal of who was the guy, Kirk Cameron and his views on hell. Have you seen any videos on this? So you'll have to go back and watch it. It's too long of a discussion, but Kirk did it. He has a podcast and he was talking about how he's moved away from the what is it? Conscious torment mindset more towards, what's the other side of that? I forget the name of it, but regardless, anyway, so then there's all of these reaction videos of people calling on Kirk Cameron to repent of his view of hell, even though from what I could tell, his new view of hell is well within the mainstream of Christian thought for the past several hundred years. So it's just that people think, oh, he disagrees with me, so I'm just going to call him to repent. Yeah. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's like he's still saying people go to hell. He's just saying what's changed is what they do there, I guess.
Apparently, exactly.
What they're aware of. Yeah.
There's a name for it. I'm spacing on it right now. It's the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
eternal conscious torment on the one hand, and then it's like I can't remember it, but
yeah. Someone had talked to me a few years back about this, and this is when I was really starting to really doubt there was a hell.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, for me, I don't think that in their minds they're thinking you need to change your mindset. They're probably, because it's very dogmatic language anyway, right? They're probably really thinking like, you need to go to God and, you know, throw it.
You need to get in line with what I think of this topic.
Yeah. Well, then that too. And that too.
Annihilationism is the other side of the coin I was trying to think of.
Yeah. Annihilationism. Yeah. And you know, and I think that's a very, you know, it is a very dogmatic, because I don't think it's a mindset. I mean, it is a mindset. I don't think it's a well thought out mindset. Let's put it that way. You know, there isn't a whole lot of thought going into it. And, you know, the good news is that a lot of those kinds of thoughts and feelings about, heaven, hell, we go to these places, they're really starting to be, you know, shaken big time.
Yeah.
Especially heaven, going to heaven. That has definitely been shaken. The hell thing is still probably a little bit of a touchy subject. But, I mean, to me, getting rid of hell, isn't that good news? But, you know, anyway.
No, because then there's not enough consequence to not living
exactly
in Jesus.
Yeah, we seek punishment for other people, for those people, for doing what they do. And, you know, it's just a really warped understanding of justification. You know, you are justifying yourself instead of allowing God to justify you, which he already did, whether you choose it or not. It's already done. But it's like, okay, God justified all humanity. Now I'm with him. Now I'm going to continue to justify myself in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And it's super redundant. And again, it's like, well, then you just obviously don't get it. Because you don't understand what justification actually is. You know, there's only one person that gets to justify, and the Creator does, and you don't get to do that. So, you know, I think, you know, it's all just very dogmatic and religiosity.
Yeah.
And probably not stuff that's been too well grounded in truly understanding what Jesus is really trying to do. Because if you really do just seriously try to study and understand what Jesus is trying to do, you're going to see very quickly you know, that that most of what he says in the Gospels are all directed to the Jews.
Yeah.
And why? It's because that's who God has been working with this whole time. And they were supposed to be the light of the world. And, you know, they just continue to just get it wrong. And not getting it wrong because I slipped up and said a cuss word or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're getting it wrong because their mindset is still focused on kingdom, right? The wrong kind of kingdom.
Yeah.
Not kingdom of heaven, kingdom of earth. And having a
and thinking that it's humanly possible to win your way into heaven just by following the laws.
Absolutely. Yeah. And being a Jew, you know, being a true Jew, you know, a full blooded Jew, you know, not a mud blood, you know, mm-hmm. Which is exactly what they thought. So, just losing sight in throughout the Old Testament, losing sight of what God really was trying to do with creation.
Yeah.
Thinking that they were special and they were the only ones that were important and not realizing that, hey, no. God is partnering with this group of people so that they could be the light of the world and shine his light to the rest of the world and be a liaison. And, you know, the mindset got all screwed up because that's not really what God was trying to do. So they lost sight of that. And yeah. I mean, to me, I think of like the prodigal son as like a perfect narrative, a perfect illustration of the narrative, the whole arcing narrative of you got family, you know, it's three words: together, apart, together. Mm-hmm. So it's simple: together, apart, together. And, you know, the only one that can bring the apart back together to get to the second together is God being able to justify the situation and make things right, righteousness, make it right. And then it's up to us to change our mindset and understand that this is what it is. I mean, it's like the prodigal son. He repented. He had a change of mind. He didn't have a change of heart. Well, I'm sure he had a change of heart because he's eating with pigs, right? That'll, you know, he was having a bad day. There's no mm-hmm. doubt about it. So all the emotions and whatever, but he started thinking, you know, the scripture says that, you know, Jesus said, he taught, like the guy stopped and thought, you know, even my dad's servants have it better. That's using his brain. That is the change of mind. That's him rethinking the situation and going, they have it better than I do. And, you know, I would be better off just being a servant than what I've done here. And that's what he chooses to go and do. And so he was going one direction, you know, and the thing is he was going one direction, he changed direction. So he kind of repented going in his own direction, right? Mm-hmm. And then he repented again to come back in the other direction with where his father was. And so, yeah, it's just about turning, you know, turning your mindset, changing your mindset, and they can go both ways. You know, you can change your mindset for, you know, in the wrong way, or you can change your mindset for the right, which is what Jesus is trying to say. You know, the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, that's the most important piece of this whole puzzle, this whole narrative, is here. So it's time to rethink your lives, rethink how you're doing things and the direction of your lives.
From the whole Rheology team, we hope these podcasts are encouraging and educational. Rheology exists for three main reasons: to reach, train, and equip those who want to go deeper with God in this partnership called Ecclesia. If God has been stirring in your heart, where you are wondering if there's more than what you've been experiencing in today's 21st century Christianity, we'd love to connect with you, to hear your story and help you know that you are not alone. You can simply contact us via the website, rheologylife.com, or reach out via Instagram @rheology_life. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.